Blog Talk Radio.
Caleb. Okay, so you want to listen to hear you talk so we can get a little volume check?
Great. How does this sound? I'm on an office phone right
now.
Oh,
it's excellent. It's excellent.
Excellent.
Wonderful.
Okay, good. Adrian, I'm going silent, and I'll come in and give you the clock, okay?
Well, wait. Let's just wait 1 second. Okay, so we're going to be on a full half hour.
Great.
Caleb, don't look at the clock. Stuart is coming in and giving me time checks on a periodic basis. Since we do not have recorded ads, but we do have ads.
Mm-hmm.
Hold 1 second. Stuart, is it possible for you to give me the phone number to call Ron Gielock and Associates? He uses, I know, the 888 number, but I don't know if you have that. I did not prepare that. So the way we do the ads are, I'll actually say, Caleb, we're going to take a little bit of a break, you know, we're going to do a little promotion. And then we'll get right back to you. So you'll actually hear it, just like in a conversation. Music.
Great.
And things like that go in afterwards. All right?
Fantastic.
So that's that one. Now, the other thing is we're going to start with, I'm going to vamp a little bit with you while Stuart gets the phone number I should have had. The first question I'm actually going to ask is go right into the play. I want people to know that this is about promoting. They're buying a ticket to the play.
Mm-hmm.
We can also even tell, I was thinking about this, what is the price of a ticket?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the price of a ticket, by the way?
$30 for adults, $15 for students with a valid student ID.
Okay. Give me that number. I think there is an 888, but we'll do this one. Give me those two. I know mine. Okay, so October 13th, it's dinner, and October, it's on there. I think it's on my calendar. See if it says the 25th. And you know the name of the restaurant. Goodies now, which is Ronald Gielock and Associates.com, right? That's true, right? Okay, so Stuart's going on now. He's going to give me a countdown.
Great.
Right. And, okay, very good. And I should just press resume. Okay, wait. Okay, good. They'll do it now. And, okay, very good. I'll do it. Go ahead. And so I'm going to, now, is it Shoemaker? Is that the way you say your name?
Showmaker.
Showmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what star were you born under? Okay, very good. All right, so you're going to hear me introduce you, and in a couple of seconds, I'm going to have a 13-second countdown, introduce the show, and then we'll rock and roll, okay?
Wonderful.
Now we're all quiet. Stu, I'm starting the 13 seconds. Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg, and this is the travel and leisure arm of Ronald Gelock's Retirement Power Hour. Every single Wednesday on this station, we show you how to make money, and every single Saturday, we show you how to spend it. So today, we're going to have a wonderful half hour with a wonderful actor who's going to tell you about a show you can actually see. No, you don't have to go to L.A., and no, you don't have to go to Atlanta for your off-broad, and you don't even have to go to Connecticut for Shakespeare. I don't know. Everybody's going to Connecticut for Shakespeare. This is actually in New York City, the home of great theater, with a terrific, terrific production company called Shakespeare in the Square. Take a look at it. We're going to give you its website in just a moment. Now, you may already know that. If you've ever wandered around Washington Square Park, that's the square, Washington Square Park, and seen free, fantastic Shakespeare, usually in the fall and in the spring. You are very familiar with SITS, Shakespeare in the Square. If not, you're really missing something. But some of you don't like to stand around in Washington Square Park, no seats, dogs barking, people playing the banjo, and listening to Shakespeare. So guess what? They've gone in doors, and we're going to give you a very short window of opportunity to be able to see this really acclaimed company do Richard II. If you know Terrence McNally, he says they are the best, but let's find out why they're the best. And we're actually going to speak to the king himself, Richard II, Caleb Shoemaker. And I said he was born under a very prescient star, to tell you all about the production, some of the behind the scenes, how you can get your tickets, whether or not to take the kids. And we're really going to have a ball here today. So, hi, Caleb. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am wonderful, and I'm so glad you took some time out from your busy schedule. And I was there last night at the Moss Theater seeing you guys working very, very hard in rehearsal. So let's jump right in. Let's talk first about the production and then tell everybody about the production company. Tell us about Richard II as a play and a little bit how you're interpreting the role of the king.
Great. Well, Richard II is probably one of Shakespeare's less well-known histories, but it's a really, really beautiful play. It was actually first done, it was titled The Tragedy of Richard II, and it really does have that sort of classic tragic feel, sort of the downfall of a really, well, I think, noble and beautiful king. Our production stays very faithful to the text. That's one of Shakespeare in the Square's sort of core beliefs, is a real love and appreciation for the original text. I think it's a gorgeous show. We have such a gorgeous team of directors, designers, producers, actors. I mean, the actors on stage are just lovely. And Richard for me is this beautiful king living in a really, really difficult, brutal world. It's a gorgeous show.
Yeah, now, it's interesting. This is not the first time I've been watching your career for a long time that you've played a king, kind of like playing the king. But this is a different kind of king. This is not one of your, this is not a Donald Trump king. This is kind of an anti-Donald Trump king. How do you relate it to what's going on today?
Yeah, I think Richard is someone that wants the world to be a certain way. He wants it to be divine and beautiful, moral. And I think we really live in an age, especially with, you know, big businesses, with, you know, with society, with racism, with police brutality, in a world where we're revealing how ugly, how unpleasant the world can actually be. I think Richard really is a king that needs to come to terms with that. And by the end of the play, it's a little unclear whether he has or has not. I think it's something that everyone living in this age can relate to.
Now, also, today we live with a lot of threats from without, and so did that particular country at that particular time. And Richard may not have had the strength that he needed because of his philosophy of life to take care of it, and it was a part of his downfall as well. How do you see that side of him?
I think that he's someone that doesn't cope well with the world, someone who sees the way things should be and struggles with the way that they are. I think that's a conflict that really everyone can appreciate on some level, that everyone can understand this struggle to make the world into something that it's not and sort of see their own end in that.
Now, you know, it is fascinating, but you did say that you're very true to the text. So let's take a look at the company. What's the origin? This company, Shakespeare in the Square, has a very unusual origin as a company. Tell us about that.
So we started in 2010, as an NYU club. Rose Bachner and Dan Hasse started the club together because they didn't see an opportunity for students outside of the drama program to perform Shakespeare, and they wanted to give themselves and others that opportunity. So they began the club in 2010, performing free Shakespeare in Washington Square Park, performing it the way they thought Shakespeare should be done, Shakespeare to the hilt, as we like to say.
Right.
I joined them in 2011 for their production of the Scottish play, really have been working with them ever since. We all, or many of the company members, graduated in 2014. And after we graduated, there was this sort of communal feeling that we wanted to keep performing together, that our work was not done. And so we did our first production after graduation of The Comedy of Errors on very minimal budget and free in Washington Square again. And it was a really great success. We put it on in about 10 days, had an absolute blast, and put together what I think was a really wonderful show. And after that, Rose and Dan sort of took the helm and made us into the professional company that we are now. We did our first indoor production at the beginning of this year, actually. We did The Tragedy of Romeo and Juliet, which was the entire folio script of Romeo and Juliet. And after that, we had our outdoor summer production of All's Well. And this is the second performance of our 2015-16 season, Richard II. So.
Now, before we go to a break, tell everybody where the theater is and also how they can get tickets.
Absolutely. The theater is at 440 Lafayette. It's right across the street from the Public for anyone that sees their shows or Shakespeare there. And if you're interested in tickets, it's you can purchase them online at shakespeareinthesquare.com. Tickets are $15 for students and $30 for adults. We have plenty of seats available, and we'd love to see anybody that can come by.
Right, shakespeareinthesquare.com. Now, Caleb, we're going to take a little bit of a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the actor's life. There's a great line that says, "I am in the theater, and I am your waiter." And so we're going to see what you're doing these days and really what the life of a performing actor is, and maybe some of the behind-the-scenes people also. All right, so this is Adrienne Berg. This is the Travel and Leisure arm of Ronald Gelock's Retirement Power Hour, heard every single Wednesday at drive time between 6 and 7 p.m. right here on this station. But as you know from that show, this is a lot more than a radio show. This is a way for us to get together on many, many different levels in many different ways. And let me explain a few of them. First of all, we do constant seminars for you guys. I'm doing one, a dinner one, actually, at 6:30 on October 13th, and one on a luncheon on October 29th at the beautiful Chimney Rock Inn in Gillette, New Jersey. Pretty easy for you guys in our listening area to go. It's always free. The food is always good. Yes, I select the menu, and yes, there are vegetarian selections. So 10:13 for your dinner, 10:29 for your lunch, and we talk about making sure that your retirement income lasts as long as you do. We give you strategies and insights that I guarantee you you've never heard before. I bring you the truth, the words of the President of the United States sometimes, because I am a New York Times HB journalist and I get invited to the inside stories like the White House Conference on Aging and what's going to happen with your Social Security and your Medicare right from many of the horses' mouths. And we also talk about things like travel and leisure. We have a unique program for people who like to travel all their life called the Ageless Traveler, how to fund it, how to really make it happen. So if it's important to you, it's important to us. And those 2 days are not our only seminars. Ronald Gelock himself has wonderful seminars. Tom Smith, an attorney and estate planner, great seminars. If you want a free ticket, now I will tell you, our last seminar is fully booked. We got a couple of calls at the end of this week, and we had to put them on waiting lists. But for October 13th and 29th, this is the first announcement, so please call right away. That's 800-467-8152, 800-467-8152. If you're calling now, leave a voicemail. You will get the lovely Sheila calling you back. That's 800-467-8152. Don't like lunches and dinners, don't want to show your face, don't want to shake hands, okay, don't worry about it. You're going to hide behind the web. We will give you, if you care for it, a 15-minute meeting on the phone to point you in the right direction when it comes to lifelong income and tax-free strategies. We will also give you a totally confidential hidden stress review of your portfolio if you want to see whether or not the debt increase is going to affect you. And if you're worried about your fees, we'll give you a hidden fee analysis. And there's a lot more. You get all of this online, totally confidential, totally anonymous. Go to ronaldgelockandassociates.com. There's a whole menu, including a free download copy of our latest book, Beating the Fear Factor, 15 Minutes to Your Ideal Retirement, ronaldgelockandassociates.com. I'm going to go back to the show, but I want to explain the show a little bit. Every single Saturday, I spend half an hour with somebody that I really care about that I think brings travel, leisure, and entertainment to you. This is the life I want to lead after retirement. This is a life that 84% of Americans say they want to lead and rarely do. So I'm here to open up the world, and it's very rare that I can bring somebody to you who's really in your backyard, really in your backyard. Last time we talked about New Orleans, we'll be talking about Uzbekistan. But here's somebody who's in New York City opening up the world of Shakespeare to you and your children through his latest production, where he plays King Richard II in Shakespeare in the Square's Richard II. So Caleb Showmaker, I want to go back to a little thing you said. You said $30 for adults is the price of your ticket, $15 mm-hmm. for students with a student ID. But let's talk about mm-hmm. little students. What is the age group? We've got a lot of grandparents listening. What's the age group that you think is appropriate to bring a child to Shakespeare in general, Richard II in particular?
So without revealing any spoilers, I will say there is some violence in the show. So if your children are squeamish, it may not be the performance for them. But our company likes to pride ourselves on being the most accessible Shakespeare, we think, available. We really want to make Shakespeare something that all age groups can understand and appreciate. So if your child enjoys the theater, enjoys Shakespeare, enjoys a little bit of gruesome on stage, then by all means, they are welcome to come.
Now, you have a school program, too. Shakespeare in the Square has a nonprofit school program mm-hmm. that does go to schools that are interested in introducing Shakespeare to students who may not be familiar with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this October we're actually bringing sort of a touring version of Richard II to a number of schools in New York and in the tri-state area. We include a workshop of the school's choice. We have a number of different workshops, including stage combat, clowning, a voice and speech workshop led by myself, and sort of a shortened, abridged production of the show itself. It's a really exciting program, and it's something that we want students to have access to. We want them to be able to engage with Shakespeare on that level, even if they can't come to see the performance itself.
So if you are a teacher and you're listening, if you're a principal, if you're a parent of somebody who feels that there is just not enough arts in your school, here's an inexpensive, wonderful way to make that happen. And how would somebody get in touch about the program? Do they go to the website, Caleb?
They can go to the website, and that'll take them to the Shakespeare in the Square email address. That would be probably the best way to reach us, is to go through that website and contact Dana Rose regarding setting up a workshop.
Okay, so give us the website once again, and if you know it by heart, you can give the email address directly too.
The website is shakespeareinthesquare.com, and unfortunately, I don't know that email off the top of my head. It's so saved in my inbox at this point.
That's my specialty, asking my guests a question they don't know the answer to. I get points from my audience. Oh, she did it. Oh, she figured it out. All right. Good for me. So, now remember, that's all written out, shakespeareinthesquare.com. All right, now let's go to you. We talked about, you know, we have people listening who may be in the beginning of their careers and wondering, even high school kids wondering, I don't know, I hear that there's no money in it, I can't hear you can't make a living, I can't hear that there's no money in the arts. Or mm-hmm. parents, you know, somebody comes home and the parent hears the most horrifying words that any parent could hear, Mom, Dad, I want to be an actor. So what's the truth behind this? I mean, you're doing it, so what's? Give us a little inside story.
Yeah, I mean, there's truth in every rumor. You know, being an actor is not easy. It takes a lot of work, a lot of dedication, and a lot of finding other sources of money. But I've gotten really lucky, I think, so far. I trained at a wonderful, wonderful acting school called the Stella Adler Studio of Acting, and have been really lucky to work there since then. I started off as an administrative assistant and was actually recently promoted to administrative coordinator. I've taught a couple of classes there, and I hope I can teach more in the future. But if you are really dedicated to the craft, then there's always a way to make it work. There's always enough passion to sustain you. I would encourage anyone that is looking into becoming an actor to try it. What's the worst that can happen? You find that you really wanted to be a lawyer and you go for law school instead.
You know, it's a funny thing, Caleb, and I'll put my two cents in. Oh, you know, I just had a birthday. And on my birthday, I was 67 years old. And I'm glad and proud about it. And the fact is that I still think I'm beginning my life.
Mm-hmm.
And people have been saying to me, what is the most important thing you would tell a child or teenager or a young adult? And I say that life is long. And that's
mm-hmm.
a price. But what do I mean by it? Exactly what you just said, which is try it. Do it. Don't like it. Life is long. You can
mm-hmm.
always go back to school. You can always go back on a different path. You can start with the path less traveled and then go on a more, or the other way around. Or
absolutely.
You can have gotten yourself in the legal, like I did. You happen to pick a funny, I'm a lawyer. Don't hold that against me. but the fact is I didn't like it. How do you like that? Went through seven
mm-hmm.
years of school and was on the law review and everything. I didn't like it. And I've taken many different paths since then. So life is long.
Mm-hmm.
For the older adults, and they say, well, look, I'm over 60, I suggest live a life of firsts. Start to live a life of firsts, and you'll never grow old. So,
absolutely.
So it is true, and it is hard, though, for a parent who, where everybody around them is the kids becoming an accountant, you know, or a plumber, something that everyone can understand. Well,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's waiting on tables, but he's really an actor. So you have to some flexibility. Now, let's go back to, let's get very Tony now for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that is your opinion. You've seen a lot of Shakespeare, and I know that you have actually watched a lot of movies where the
mm-hmm.
main characters were played by great actors, and those main characters were Richard II in preparation, right, for your
mm-hmm.
role. What's your opinion? What's your opinion of what you saw in the movie translations? What you see in some of the live shows? I mean, you're not a critic, but you certainly have got opinions. And who do you like the best? who influenced you?
I have to say, I watched, at my friend's request, the Hollow Crown production of Richard II, starring Ben Whishaw, and I found the production absolutely incredible. It's not only a beautifully directed, beautifully designed film, but the acting across the board is incredible. Ben Whishaw brings such subtlety to this role, to this character that I think really demands it. And I hope that I can bring some of that into my performance as well. I think Richard II is a character that lends himself really well to each actor. I don't think there is one way to play Richard II. Mark Rylance's Richard is so different from Ben Whishaw's, is so different from Fiona Shaw's, is so different from any of the other great actors who have tackled the role. I think that there's something about this character that brings out sort of your most intimate parts, sometimes really successfully and sometimes not so successfully. But I hope that my performance reveals something about me as well as the character.
You know, one of the things, let's get a little, let's dish a minute here before we take our next break. There's an underlying criticism, even in the way Shakespeare in the Square presents itself, of other productions, because it says we do it the way Shakespeare would have done it, with a distracted crowd and absolutely word for word, and only doing, I think, the first folio as if, well, you know, we do it right. Is there a little edge to your company when it comes to that?
I think so. I think we live in an age where Shakespeare is sometimes treated as precious, as something that shouldn't be stained or shouldn't be messed with. And I think Shakespeare himself wouldn't have appreciated that. His plays are messier than we like to think of them. His plays have some grit, have some real violence at the core that I think we like to bring out. Everybody has that in them. And so I think we don't like to pretend that it's not there in Shakespeare as well as in us.
So we're going to take a little bit of a break. We come back, we're going to talk about music and Shakespeare. And we're going to talk about girls and boys and boys and girls and how they play the part. Because if you want to see a guy playing a girl and with a beard, you're going to go to Shakespeare in the Square, because you're always going to find at least one in the crowd. And this will be no exception. So we will be back in a moment. And guess what? We're back. I have to tell you about how to meet us. It's really worthwhile. You know, we talk about Ronald Gelag and Associates, and you meet Ronald Gelag every single Wednesday with myself co-hosting together the Ronald Gelag Retirement Power Hour. But you haven't met some really cool people like Patricia Neely, who is also works as an advisor, and many others, and we will be with you at a variety of different seminars all this fall. Now, the one that I'm heading is a dinner one. Oh, I'd like to say dinner theater, but it's not. It's a workshop at the Chimney Rock Inn in Gillette, New Jersey. And then a luncheon on October 29th, same place. And we will be talking about lifelong income, lifestyles that you may fear to tread upon, like you wish you could live abroad for a month. How can you really do it in retirement and not ruin everything that you've put together? How can you afford to live a traveler's life and be a true ageless traveler? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the horrendous tax issues in the state of New Jersey and how you can strategize them away and out of your life, and how to get money to your kids in the best, most positive way. So whether it's life purpose, legacy, or simply making the most out of your bottom line without risking it in this volatile market, we will cover it, I promise you, at our workshops. For those who would like to hear Ronald Gelag himself, he has many, many dates, many workshops. They are always free, period, the end. How do you get your reservation? You go to 800-467-8152, 800-467-8152. Leave a message this weekend or call during the week, and the lovely Sheila will register you. 800-467-8152. You want to learn more about all the things we offer? We offer our free book, Beating the Fear Factor, just off the presses, 15 Minutes to Your Ideal Retirement. That's free of charge. We will just download it for you. You can buy it on Amazon. Go to Amazon and pay money. That's okay. Look at GELOK, G-E-L-O-K. That's the way that's spelled. And you'll see my books, Berg, B-E-R-G. I've got about 14 of them out. But if you want it free of charge and our latest thinking, you will go to RonaldGELOKandAssociates.com, RonaldGELOKandAssociates.com, where you can also, if you wish, get a 15-minute phone meeting with us to point you in the right direction on creating a powerful retirement, or have your current portfolio stress tested. Yeah, you get a stress test. What would happen if the price of energy went up or down? Would that affect your bottom line? Well, we can find out. We test for about 30 different things that can happen in the world that could come back and bite you and surprise you. And it's free of charge. Think you're paying too many fees? We can do a hidden fee test of your portfolio. It's all online. It's all free of charge. It's all perfectly confidential and private. Ronald GELOK, G-E-L-O-K, and associates.com. Okay, so we've been talking in this half hour. We always talk about travel and leisure, wonderful things you can do. If you're just tuning in, Richard II has a short run. We'll find out. I know that opening night is the 24th of September, and I think it runs until October 4th at the Moss Theater across from the Public in Manhattan. That's on Lafayette Street in Manhattan. And it's a terrific cast and a terrific production. Now, one of the things that Shakespeare in the Square production company is known for is doing Shakespeare the way Shakespeare would have wanted it done. And from the beginning, I've been surprised at their integration of music before and after and during intermission. Now, they're doing something different this year. For me, the jury is out, but let's talk to Caleb Shoemaker, who plays Richard II. What's this nexus between music and Shakespeare? We generally do not put that together, Caleb.
I think there's something about Shakespeare that demands an audience, that needs engagement. And I personally have always felt the same way about music. I think Dan and Rose agree that music is such a wonderful way of bringing people together in a shared experience, and we want people to feel the same way about Shakespeare. I think the marriage of those two things is perfectly natural and really beautiful, in my opinion.
Now, you've always done songs, and you yourself have been involved with them before the show, during intermission, and they've been songs that are real popular songs that you've picked because the lyrics are clever and integrate with the play. But not this time. You're doing something different. What are you doing this time with Richard II?
Well, this time we actually have an original score written by one of our company members, Austin Short. He and a small band of our friends are performing live music written by Austin for the performance. We usually do our sort of pop references outdoors because it draws such a great crowd. But indoors, we feel less of a need to sort of call people in. They're here, so let's give them a really special treat, something original and new and just for them.
I will say, I actually enjoy the performances and the references to old and new pop songs. So I told you, the jury is out for me. I'm going to see if I get as excited. But I will say this. The reason I like those songs is that they're funny. And you sing them. They're funny. But I don't think we should end our show without you mentioning that even in Richard II, you've managed to put humor in comedy.
I think that there's always some degree of humor in Shakespeare. In any tragedy, there's some laughter. And actually, in every comedy, there's some tears. I think that we've managed to find a really nice balance. The audience would just be exhausted by the end of this show if they did nothing but cry. So we've managed to find a little levity towards the end.
You do that. And you know, we always know, we've all known that Shakespeare, the first thing we're taught, men played women's parts in Shakespeare. Women were not on stage. But you take that a step further and you mix and match. You have women playing men's parts. You have men playing women. And in Romeo and Juliet last year, you had people playing six and seven parts, same character. Do you have any of that here as well?
We do. Because we love working with such small casts of people, most of the actors end up playing 3, 4, 5 different roles. And ultimately, we don't worry much about the gender of those characters. It can be really funny to have a man play a woman, and it can be really funny vice versa, but also it can be really truthful. I think that there's a lot that these actors bring to their roles aside from gender, and it's really wonderful to discover these characters in a new way, in a way we didn't expect, simply because a man is playing a woman or a woman is playing a man.
Well, we thank you so much. We've run out of time. Remember, everybody, get out there, kids, and make it happen.
Thank you so much.
Okay, hold on. Sue? Okay, we just have to be quiet for a second now. Okay, we're good. Caleb, thank you. That was terrific.
Thank you. I hope I did the company proud.
I think you did an incredible job. I knew that Rose would only pick somebody that would. And it's beautiful. And what we do, of course, is it'll be on the air, but if you want it for the website or something, you can have it for the website.
Fantastic. Yeah, talk to Rose about that, because I'm sure she and Dan will want more materials to put up on the website.
Yeah, I mean, it never hurts. It's, you know,
absolutely.
It's a nice thing. They do so many things. They might even put slides to it and put it on YouTube or something. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So go enjoy yourself.
Thank you so much. See you soon.
Right. Take care.
Bye-bye.